Welcome, everyone, to the Green Living Show, specializing in how to be honestly green. There'll be no greenwashing here, just accurate advice on products and techniques that are healthy to use, save you money, and are really good for the environment. Tips and suggestions from listeners are encouraged, so give us a call at 866-444-3478. It's time now to venture through the foggy information and learn what is truly green living. Here he is, the Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome, everybody. It's a little different Green Living Show today. We're visiting with a guest, Jeffrey Smith, who is the expert in the country on GMOs. He's done his research, and it, as you will hear, he's the author of a book called Seeds of Deception. That's the number one book on that subject, isn't it, Jeffrey?
Well, yes. It actually describes how scientists who came up with problems, serious health problems about GMOs, were fired or stripped of responsibilities or forced out. It shows how the FDA scientists, we now know from documents made public from a lawsuit, actually were very concerned about the health dangers and urged their superiors to require long-term study. But lo and behold, the person in charge of FDA policy was Monsanto's former attorney, later Monsanto's vice president, now the U.S. food safety czar, and he ignored the scientists, ignored the science, and allowed GM crops on the market without a single required safety study.
Surprise, surprise.
Indeed.
You probably run into that a lot. Jeffrey is from Iowa. He and his wife live there. I wanted to ask you the first hour, and I forgot to do it. You live surrounded by genetically modified soybeans and corn. That must be kind of like me having to go play golf and pick up my golf ball after the place has been sprayed with pesticides and synthetic fertilizers.
Yes, in fact, you know, you drive in any direction from a small town in Iowa, and they're just in basically an ocean of soybeans and corn. And this is where the information that's given to farmers is most distorted in the world, because it's the biotech industry has propelled their myths, which are not supported at all by science, about higher yields, feeding the world, mm-hmm. Safe, good for farmers, etc., to every single channel that the farmers listen to, whether it's their seed sellers, the agricultural chemical sellers, the land-grant universities, the agricultural extension agents, the Farm Talk Radio and the farm journals. They all have tremendous influence by the biotech industry, particularly Monsanto. And so it's interesting that even though I live in Iowa, most of my educational efforts are not in Iowa. I've traveled to 32 countries, I've been to 38 states, and most of my work is outside of Iowa because there's more receptivity there, because I don't have to fight against the bias that's already been created here.
Do we have any political people at all that are on our side? I don't see it out there, and that's one thing I wanted to bring up with you.
Well, yes, we do. There's some members of Congress that are co-sponsoring a proposal for mandatory labeling of genetically modified products.
Where are we on that? I thought that had just been stonewalled to death.
It has so far. We haven't had very much success. In fact, the Obama team committed to require mandatory labeling of GMOs when they were campaigning, but we haven't seen anything like that so far. In fact, he put in charge of the USDA former Iowa Governor Tom Vilsack, who was the biotech governor of the year,
yeah.
Very pro-GM. He,
yeah.
He put in a number of people, including Michael Taylor, the former Monsanto attorney, as the U.S. food safety czar, person I particularly consider to be probably responsible for more food-related illness and death in human history, and is now in charge of the U.S. food safety.
Well, that was my point, Jeffrey. I don't think Republicans are Democrats. We have a place where we can go and really have somebody on our side. They're all in bed with these big money people, both sides.
And that's why I think that the secret or the strategy for success lies in educating people about the health dangers
at the grassroots level. That's right.
Yeah, yep. And providing them with non-GMO shopping guides. In fact, now we have doctors all over the country, including a significant doctors' organization, saying every doctor should prescribe non-GMO diets to every patient, because they say that according to animal feeding studies, they're linked to reproductive problems, immune system problems, accelerated aging, gastrointestinal problems, organ damage, dysfunctional regulation of cholesterol and insulin, very serious problems that we've seen from the very few animal feeding safety studies.
Well, I want to go over some of the things we talked about in the first hour real quickly, and then there's some new things to cover here. Going back over Roundup is very important because it's such a big part of your work. I have been fighting against Roundup for a long time. It's been marketed brilliantly. The people that market it, the Scotts, Monsanto people, have marketed from the very beginning that it goes away when it hits the soil, gets tied up, and is not a problem. And you were talking about that's not the case. It has even been found up in the water stream. So if it goes away in the soil, how in the heck does it get in the water stream? Why don't you cover that again real quickly for us?
Sure. Even in Denmark, they found it at five times the acceptable level in their water table and banned its use. It was a great surprise to them because they had probably believed the rhetoric by the marketing companies. So very briefly, Roundup has a tremendous amount of problems with the agricultural products that it touches. It damages beneficial microorganisms in the soil. It promotes pathogenic microorganisms. It reduces the ability of the plants to defend themselves against disease. It ties up nutrients that are no longer available to the plant. The plant has less of these trace minerals, so it's less in the animals that eat it, less in the humans that eat the animals or the plants directly. The glyphosate or toxic ingredient, as well as some of the other products, accumulate in the soybean and corn kernels, which we eat. That has high levels of endocrine disruption activity, which can influence our ability to reproduce and have children. It was just linked in an article that came out last month on birth defects. It's linked to inhuman application to spontaneous abortions and in test tube studies to death of placental cells from humans. And so there's is also possibly linked to cancer and other problems according to the research. So it's not at all benign. It stays in the soil. It can last up to 3 years or longer. And it also affects the health of other crops planted afterwards. In fact, when you plant wheat afterwards, I'm told by researchers there's a higher percentage or potential for head blight, which is a fungal disease related to Fusarium,
right. Yep.
And that there's also some believe that it's very related to the high level of sudden death syndrome in soy and the early death in corn that we saw this year and last year and the year before. Right now we're drenching Roundup, which also destroys the structure of the soil, which might reduce its ability to absorb water, which might have influenced the flooding even in Iowa 2 years ago, which was devastating. So it's like, as I said earlier, a perfect storm. And one of the things that I did mention last time is that the Roundup Ready soybean, it has a gene inserted into it that allows the soybean plant not to die when sprayed with Roundup. The only human feeding study ever published showed that that gene can transfer into the DNA of bacteria living inside our own intestines and continue to function. The people in this study had Roundup Ready gut bacteria.
That's lovely, very lovely. Well, this product has been marketed so great, and the GMOs have been marketed as something that's going to save the world, that will give certain nutrients to children better and all that. Has that stuff all been totally debunked, or is there any truth to any of it?
It's totally debunked. Right now, the most comprehensive evaluation of agriculture and feeding the world was from a report called the ISTAT report, 2,500 pages, 60 countries signing on, 400-plus scientists, and they came up with a completely clear conclusion that the current generation of genetically modified crops has nothing to offer to feed the hungry world, to solve the problems of poverty, and that the idea of inserting healthy genes that were like vitamin A in rice is so dangerous because of the technology is so primitive and causes such massive collateral damage in the DNA of the crops that it's inserted, that you're opening Pandora's box to all sorts of other problems. The Roundup Ready soy, for example, in Monsanto's own research, had as much as a sevenfold increase in a known allergen compared to non-GM soy when it was cooked. So this is a tremendous problem because it might explain, for example, why soon after GM soy was introduced to the UK, soy allergies skyrocketed by 50%.
Sure. Well, and down in the valley in Texas, the crop production has actually gone down. I think it's the only thing that, in a lot of ways, slowed down the use of GMOs in Texas. And the soil biology, being damaged is shown dramatically by the organic matter not breaking down very well, which is a tremendous problem for soil health and production of crops. So the problems are just across the board.
On top of that, the BT that's used in corn, which is that insecticide that the corn produces from within every cell, they found that the BT corn, when they make bundles of the straw or whatnot, it doesn't shrink like normal cotton, like normal corn stubble and other properties. And it's probably because the higher levels of a substance called lignin.
Yep.
Lignin is what's a woody compound. It makes trees strong. And the metabolic pathway that produces lignin produces another substance linked to Parkinson's disease.
Let's talk about more of this right after this break. Don't go away. That's Jeffrey Smith.
Hello, gardening friends. I'm John Dromgoole. I'm glad to have this opportunity to talk to you about Ladybug Natural Brand Organic Gardening Products. Whether you're a beginner or an experienced gardener, you'll find it's easy to garden organically with my products. After 35 years of organic gardening, I custom designed the Ladybug line to help Texas gardeners achieve great, consistent results. My John's Recipe liquid fertilizer includes a hydrolyzed fish emulsion, seaweed, Medina soil activator, humic acid, and molasses. I'm proud to say this is truly a fantastic fertilizer for your organic garden. You'll love the results, and 1 gallon makes 128 gallons of ready-to-use. Our all-purpose organic fertilizer, the Ladybug 824, covers more area than any other and has more nitrogen, too. Want more flowers for your roses, perennials, fruit trees, and vegetables? Use Ladybug Flower Power. Ladybug Natural Brand products are only available at your independent garden centers all over Texas. For a store near you, go to ladybugbrand.com.
One of the most common recommendations I make for people who are trying to increase the plant growth, especially plants that are having problems, is to use Thrive by Alpha Bio, containing beneficial bacteria and mycorrhizal fungus. And it's just remarkable what increased plant growth and health you'll see. Give it a try if you haven't already. For more information, go to alphabiosystems.com. That's 888-265-7929. Or check with your local retailer.
Tired of poor-performing crops, gardens, or lawns? Texas Plant and Soil Lab offers you the most accurate and thorough soil nutrition test in the industry. Our special method is accurate for every soil type and in all areas of the country. The quality of the water you use for irrigation is also critical to the health of your soil and plants. We can provide you a complete analysis and corrective recommendations for your water. Go to TexasPlantAndSoilLab.com today to see useful information and a full description of our services. That's TexasPlantAndSoilLab.com or call 956-383-0739.
Spring is here, and it often brings the need for many home repair projects. Is your household budget stretched so it's hard to afford basic home repairs and improvement projects? Here are some green living do-it-yourself projects that will enhance your health and save you money. Fix a leaky faucet. Paint a room with low VOC paint. Install an attic tent to create an air transfer barrier between your attic and living areas. Install a solar attic fan. Enjoy a high-powered, water-saving showerhead. Purchase do-it-yourself radiant barrier for your attic ceiling. Or get an easy-to-install under-sink water filtration system. These projects require having the right tools and, more importantly, great information so you don't have to figure everything out by yourself. Visit howardgarrett.com for helpful step-by-step advice, how-to guides, and the best products for your spring green living home improvement projects.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers. Nitrogen-only products are even worse. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. Mow turf as needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com. There's more to an organic lifestyle than organic gardening and natural organic foods. These are important, but so are the following: non-toxic paints and stains, cleaning products, water filters, bed and bath products, bamboo cutting boards and food utensils, recycled artful countertops, energy-efficient cookware, natural pet products, as well as energy-saving products like the right light fixtures and solar chargers for electrical devices. The place that can help you with wonderful advice and all of these products is Green Living. They're very easy to find. It's greenliving.com or dirtdoctor.com. Green Living has all of the gardening products recommended by the Dirt Doctor, but also organic coffee, The Missing Link, Redmond Sea Salt, baby care, bed and bath, home care, and pet products. That's greenliving.com or dirtdoctor.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
All righty, Howard, back with you. We are visiting this morning with Jeffrey Smith, who is the author of Seeds of Deception. He's also the producer of films The Hidden Danger and Kids' Meals and Your Milk on Drugs, Just Say No. He does a syndicated column called Spilling the Beans and writes a blog on the Huffington Post. One of the things, Jeffrey, I wanted to bring up with you, one of my scientist friends made a comment to me one time that has really stuck with me about this genetically modified thing. And he said the biggest problem of all is that these guys that are doing all this, they don't have any idea what's going to happen from this science. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, the biggest, most consistent result from genetic engineering is surprises.
Yep.
And I think one of the biggest early surprises came when a pro-GM scientist was given a grant by the UK government to analyze how to test for these safety. He was going to create the protocols that were supposed to be implemented as the required tests to get products approved in Europe. And he fed a supposedly harmless genetically modified potato to rats. And the rats developed potentially precancerous cell growth, smaller brains, livers, and testicles, partial atrophy of the liver, damaged immune system in 10 days. And it turns out it wasn't the particular gene that was inserted that caused the problem, because it created an insecticide, and he had fed that insecticide at much higher levels to rats, and they didn't have these problems. It was somehow the surprising effects, the side effects, of the process of genetic engineering. Mm-hmm. Well, what happened was he went public with his concerns, was a hero for about 2 days at his institute, and then two phone calls were allegedly placed from the UK Prime Minister's office, forwarded through the receptionist to the director, and the next day the scientist was fired after 35 years, silenced with threats of a lawsuit. They disbanded the 20-member research team, they never implemented the protocols, and they decided to trash his reputation in order to protect that of the biotech industry. And that was an example of how they deal with some of these adverse findings, which we've seen over and over again. Every year, one or more scientists, including those at the FDA, get attacked and get silenced when they raise questions or discover adverse findings.
I run into this all the time. Well, as I mentioned to you earlier, there's a big partnership. The announcement has just been made. I got a press release on it before it's even on the Internet about Texas A&M AgriLife going into a partnership with the Scotts Company, the same company that we've been talking about here that's involved with Roundup and the Scotts Bonus S fertilizer, which has atrazine in it and all that. And they're giving A&M a bunch of money, a lot of money. And I know, without even seeing the details, that one of the things they're most interested in continuing research on is exactly what you're trying to teach people to stay away from. What progress are you making at the university level?
The university level is very, very difficult. I talked to one scientist who used to be the chairman of the Agricultural Committee for the National Academy of Sciences for 7 years, and he said he has spoken to dozens of scientists personally who had no idea of the attack mechanism that's set up by the biotech industry, that if you even start to do research that might show that there's problems, and especially if you discover research, that there is such a pointed attack. He said these people just leave the field. They don't do the research. He said there's hardly any researcher at all at any land-grant universities that are doing research that might demonstrate harm associated with GMOs. At the same time, if you want to do research on a genetically modified seed, you're forced to ask the companies for those seeds, and then they typically turn you down or require that they look at the research and approve it before it gets published. So 24 environmental scientists wrote an anonymous letter to the EPA complaining that not a single independent study gets conducted in the United States because of these type of policies.
Scary stuff. We haven't talked about milk growth hormone yet. Where does that stand?
Well, the American Public Health Association last year condemned the use of genetically modified bovine growth hormone, as had the American Nurses Association, Healthcare Without Harm, Physicians for Social Responsibility. And a court just acknowledged a couple of months ago the clear differences in the milk from cows treated with bovine growth hormone. What happens is when you inject a cow, it increases the amount of a cancer-promoting hormone called IGF-1 in the milk. And so there is a lot of concern that by drinking the milk, you increase the levels of IGF-1 in your body and increasing the risks of cancer like prostate, breast, and colon cancer. It also increases the mastitis or infection in the cow's udder, which can increase the amount of pus in the milk as well as the antibiotics in the milk. And there's also a decreased nutritional quality of the milk. Now, fortunately, I've been part of a coalition that have been educating people about these dangers. I have a video you could see at yourmilkondrugs.com, and you could see this 18-minute video which describes the rigged research, the hijacked regulatory agencies, the health problems, the problems with the animals. And we've been educating people about these things, and so far we have created a tipping point driving it out of the market. It's been kicked out of most U.S. dairies, including brands like Walmart's milk and Starbucks milk and Danone and Yoplait's yogurt, etc. So it's an example of how consumers at the top of the food chain can move the market.
Good job. That's great. Well, I want to talk about how people can make some good decisions on buying things at the grocery store when we come back. I want to tell people about how to contact you, your websites, and so forth. So everybody grab a pencil. That's Jeffrey Smith. As you can tell, he knows a lot about this GMO problem. The data is on the side of the good guys in this case, and I'm delighted about it. I also want to talk about sugar beets when we come back, and BT a little bit more, killing butterflies in addition to a bunch of other things, and even some turf issues, which I have some experience with. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Phone number here if you want to jump in. A couple of people have called and haven't come on the air. 866-444-3478. We'll be back right after this.
It's spring, and the deer are back dining on your garden delights. People everywhere have found the best natural solution to lost greenery. It's Deer Scram, America's finest deer repellent. Deer Scram is organic and really works, guaranteed. Deer Scram's granular formula is easily applied, doesn't smell bad, and lasts through rainfall. Look for Deer Scram and find independent nurseries and garden centers or visit deerscram.com. That's deerscram.com. Deer Scram, the name says it all. Learn to live more natural and organic by purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural organic program is better in every way. The organic method is the most efficient, most cost-effective, and most fun of any approach. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping or delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and natural living. Howard Garrett books can be found in the online store at dirtdoctor.com or in stores in your neighborhood. Purchase one of these fine books today so you can start enjoying living the natural way. Sugar can ruin your health. Here are a few good reasons from Nancy Appleton, PhD, who wrote Suicide by Sugar. Sugar can suppress the immune system. It can cause hyperactivity, anxiety, difficulty concentrating, and crankiness in children. Sugar interferes with absorption of calcium and magnesium. It can increase cholesterol. It can weaken eyesight and can cause hypoglycemia. It can cause premature aging, tooth decay, and contribute to obesity. Sugar can cause arthritis. It can cause asthma, gallstones, and heart disease. Sugar can lead to periodontal disease. Sugar can contribute to osteoporosis. It can cause headaches, including migraine. It can cause liver tumors. And sugar can cause cataracts. To learn more about living a more natural and healthy lifestyle, visit DirtDoctor.com today. You'll find helpful topics and wonderful products that will help you live better, have more fun, and save money, including information on why to avoid sugar, especially high fructose corn syrup.
Munster Natural Pet Foods are very special products for your very special pets, dogs and cats. These products have all the good things. More flaxseed, the richest source of omega-3 in any pet food out there. Natural preservatives throughout the product, citric acid, rosemary extract, and natural tocopherols. Not just in the fats, as with a lot of dog foods, but throughout the product. Munster Natural is loaded with vitamins and minerals. The blend gives your dogs and cats the most beautiful coats you've ever seen. Munster Natural comes in three different rations for dogs. Red bag for puppies, mothers, and athletes. Green bag for normally active dogs. And the blue bag for seniors and less active dogs. Latest addition is the yellow bag, which is the chicken and rice formula that contains no wheat or corn. Munster Natural cat food has the same basic special ingredients for your pets. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, recommending highly Munster Natural dog food and cat food.
What cookware should I use? It's a great question because you may already be aware of the problems with pesticides on produce, the mercury in fish, and the chemicals generally in our food. But you may not be aware that your choice of kitchenware can make a difference too. Typical pots and pans can contain chemicals which can leach into your food, Teflon in particular, but also aluminum and PVC plastic. Here are some guidelines to watch for. Avoid nonstick pans, pots, bakeware, and utensils because they contain Teflon. Although nonstick kitchenware is very convenient, Teflon is made from toxic compounds which have been linked to cancer and reproductive problems. Avoid aluminum pots and pans that may cause aluminum to leach into the food. It's best to use glass bakeware and stainless steel or cast iron pots and pans. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great health-improving products for your kitchen.
Howard Garrett back here. Those of you who are calling in, like Ruth and Mesquite, to just say thank you for what you're doing. This exposure is terrific. You're welcome. Those of you with gardening questions, we'll probably ask you to call tomorrow on the show, and we'll do those and continue to talk with Jeffrey Smith today. That number today and tomorrow is 1-866-444-3478. Jeffrey, how do people buy food that's not doesn't have this problem? What do they do?
Well, we made it easy. We have non-GMOshoppingguide.com. Non-GMOshoppingguide.com has more than 100 brands and 22 food categories where people can figure out which products are non-GMO. It's also available as an iPhone application, Shop No GMO, and we have a pocket guide. Basically, the four tips are this. One, if you buy organic, products are not allowed to use GMO.
Mm-hmm.
Two, there's also products that have non-GMO claims on them, whether they're organic or not. Three products are listed in the shopping guide are those that made non-GMO claims. And then four, you can avoid the at-risk ingredients, which we list in the guide as the derivatives primarily of soy and corn, which are practically omnipresent in processed foods. Now, there's a third-party verification system called the Non-GMO Project, and we require that any product that's listed in our guide be enrolled in that, because that's really the new standard. It's like the new way of saying organic was, you know, organic was a third-party verified system that came into being a couple of decades ago. Similarly, with this, there's a new third-party system, so it provides more rigorous testing requirements than simply people making a statement on their package.
Let me ask you a question. I'm afraid of the answer, though. The only soy product that I continue to eat is organic soy sauce. How safe is that?
Well, like I say, if it's organic, then they've taken provisions to avoid GM contamination. And there might be some small level, especially with, since soy doesn't really cross-pollinate much. So there is some contamination that you can find in some organic soy products, but it would be very, very low. Then with the soy sauce, it's fermented, which can chew up the DNA, so you won't be able to even test it and find it. Now, does that mean it's completely safe? Well, if you eliminate the DNA from a genetically modified, let's say, corn syrup or corn oil or soy oil, it doesn't eliminate all the risk, because the process of insertion and cloning that cell into a GM plant causes massive collateral damage and can increase some existing level of toxin or allergen, or create a completely new one, which might survive the processing and end up in the final product. And these are not evaluated by anyone before they're put on the market.
Okay, you didn't give me the answer I wanted, but I'm sure that's the truth. Let's talk about BT a little bit more. You know, the BT that's inserted in plants so it'll kill the corn earworm. It's such a ridiculous concept to begin with, you know, because BT kills all Lepidopterous insects, and a lot of the Lepidopterous insects are butterflies and beneficial moths, and so it's just crazy. But you wanted to talk specifically about cotton and BT, I think.
Right. Let me give a background to BT. As you know well, BT is used as a spray form from soil bacteria, and it kills certain insects, breaks open their digestive system, and kills them. And the EPA said it's okay to register corn and cotton as pesticides producing this BT toxin because they say it has a history of safe use in agriculture. And they say it's completely species-specific with insects and doesn't hurt mammals or humans. Well, they're ignoring the peer-reviewed studies. When they feed BT spray, natural spray, to mice, it caused tissue damage and immune system responses. When BT spray was used for gypsy moth infestation in Washington and Vancouver, about 500 people complained of allergic and flu-like symptoms. Some had to go to the hospital. Now in India, thousands of farm workers who are picking the BT cotton, which produces this BT toxin at a concentration thousands of times greater than the spray, it's even designed to be even more toxic than the spray, they're complaining of the same allergic and flu-like symptoms that those who were sprayed with the spray in the Pacific Northwest. They're actually getting rashes all over their bodies and itching, and this is from investigative reports, hospital records, pharmacy reports. And then they allow animals to graze on the cotton plants after harvest, and thousands have died. Mm-hmm. And they die only after eating the BT cotton and not the natural cotton. In fact, I visited one small village in India where they allowed all their buffalo to graze on cotton plants after harvest every year. But they allowed, on January 3rd, 2008, they allowed their 13 buffalo to graze on BT cotton for one day, and all died within 3 or 4 days.
Wow.
And I went to another location where they had raised, for 30 days, they put sheep into three different fields, and they could only eat exclusively either the BT Bolgard 1 cotton or the BT Bolgard 2 cotton or natural cotton. And all six sheep eating the BT 1 or 2 died within 30 days, and those eating the non-genetically modified had no symptoms.
Scary stuff, I tell you.
In addition, the actual laboratory feeding studies where they fed BT corn to mice, the Italian government did the study, massive immune responses in the mice. Even Monsanto's own studies, which were made public because of lawsuits, showed evidence, signs of toxicity and immune system responses in their rats, actually, that were fed for 90 days on their own BT corn. And then, as I mentioned in the first hour, the Austrian government fed a combination of BT and Roundup Ready corn to mice, and they had smaller babies and fewer babies.
Well, let's talk about a couple of the crops that you're involved in trying to slow down and got in on a little bit earlier, I think. One is sugar beets and the other is salmon. I recommend sugar beets to people. The greens, as I told you when we were talking a couple of days ago, are wonderful. I think sugar beets is certainly an important sugar source for a lot of different things. But where do we stand with sugar beets right now?
Well, 95% of the sugar beets planted in the United States are genetically engineered to not die when sprayed with Roundup. Mm-hmm. And they had to do a huge increase in allowable levels of Roundup onto the crop when they introduced these crops. Now, not only do we eat the sugar, but animals are fed the sugar beet pulp, and that might have a very serious health consequence there. Now, the federal government declared that the approval of sugar beets was done illegally without proper environmental evaluation. It could cross-pollinate with chard and other things. And so they instructed the USDA to re-regulate, in other words, to not allow anyone to use sugar beets. And now the USDA is saying, well, 20%, we would have a 20% shortage of sugar beets. We're going to try and go around the law and issue special permits to special farmers, and so they face another lawsuit if they do that. So it's in the balance to see if the USDA again squares off against some of the organizations that are trying to protect consumers and the environment. So right now, if something says sugar and it's sold in the U.S., since 60% of the sugar supply is from sugar beets, you can be sure it uses genetically engineered sources. If it says pure cane sugar, it's not GMO.
Oh, good tip. Pure cane sugar is what we're looking for then.
Absolutely.
Salmon, what about the fishes?
Well, you know, they did a study with a certain type of salmon that they put in a gene for faster growth, similar to the one that's up for approval by the FDA. And when they put these salmon in tanks with other frankenfish or with a natural fish, and they fed them enough food, there was no problem. When they reduced the amount of food, the frankenfish freaked. They started killing and eating their competition, causing complete extinctions or population crashes in the tanks. It turns out these fast-growing fish, which can reach market size in half the time, are voraciously hungry and very aggressive. So if they end up being released into the environment and start mating with natural populations, there is a concern that they could either wipe out natural salmon or end up with voracious mutant freaks roving the ocean floors looking for to kill and eat other fish. So it's a very, very serious environmental risk, and the hormone that is increases the metabolic activity and growth rate of the fish also probably increases IGF-1, insulin-like growth factor 1, which is a cancer-promoting hormone, which might mean that the fish could increase cancer. They also did found additional other hormone in the meat of the fish, and they found that some people who are allergic to salmon had a higher reaction rate to the genetically modified salmon, and yet the FDA said, well, they wanted to just fly it through and approve it, even though there was a lot of very, very poor research and very inadequate data, so that even though they had kind of rigged their committee to approve it quickly, even the committee had to say, there's not enough information to give it a quick rubber stamp. We need more, especially in the environmental area and also in the allergen area.
Well, what do people look for when they're buying salmon now? Will it be shown on the label?
Right now, there is no genetically engineered salmon. It has not yet been approved.
Oh, okay. That's
and
good.
So, the salmon is either right now wild or farm-raised.
Okay.
And, of course, the farm-raised uses more antibiotics per pound than any other livestock. It's fed genetically modified soy as part of its protein, and there's also less nutrient content in its flesh. So wild is always better when you can get it.
Better but harder to find, and also a little difficult to make sure you're actually getting wild.
Yes.
Okay. Well, all right. The BT corn, I guess, is the same category as the BT cotton. We really don't need to go over that again. BT put into plants, bad idea. One of the things that I wanted to chat with you about was turf. And the story that I have relates to the people from Roundup coming to see me. We were actually doing some research trying to come up. This was 20 years ago, I guess.
Wow.
They came to me and said, we want to try to come up with something that the organic community can accept that's a herbicide, and we want to do some tests with you. And we actually did some testing at one of the corporate headquarters that at the time was using an organic technique. And we came up with some things that were interesting. Of course, this was way before I realized all the problems with Roundup. But one day they were in my office and they said, "We've got something we know you're going to love." And I said, "Really? What's that?" And they said, "Well, we've come up with a way of genetically modifying a turf grass so that you can spray with Roundup and it'll kill only the weeds." I said, "There's the door. Get out of here. I don't want to talk to you anymore." We're about to run out of time in this segment, but are you dealing with the turf grass issue, or have you in the past?
I have in the past, and it is very scary. They found when they planted creeping bent grass by Scotts and Monsanto that they cross-pollinated as far as they were testing, 13 miles away. And so that means it was at least pollinating at least 13 miles away, and I'll tell you what that means for potential damage after the break.
Okay, let's talk about turf grass when we come back. That's Jeffrey Smith. He is an expert, as you can tell. He may not say it, but I will, in this genetically modified organism issue. We'll talk more about it right after this.
Many years ago, while growing up in the nutrient-rich green countryside of Japan, surrounded by pure springs and running water, Dr. Ohira had the genesis for the idea that would become the fermentation process for one of Japan's best probiotics. Dr. Ohira discovered the wonders of probiotics, or lactic acid bacteria, when traveling in Malaysia. After researching the Malaysian diet, Dr. Ohira concluded it must be the fermented foods they ate that contained these beneficial probiotic bacteria that contributed to their good digestion and enhanced immune health. Dr. Ohira's Probiotics 12 Plus is the ultimate in probiotic supplementation, combining ancient Japanese fermentation skills with 21st century technology. Dr. Ohira's Probiotics 12 Plus is fermented using 12 strains of live cultures for maximum effectiveness, and no refrigeration is required.
Dr. Ohira's Probiotics 12 Plus is available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, and other fine health food stores nationwide. Dr. Ohira's Probiotics 12 Plus, an evolutionary leap in probiotic science. Feel the Dr. Ohira difference.
Howard Garrett here for Zeolite. Zeolite in general is a great product, but I have one specific company brand that I recommend because it's the best. It gives me the best results. It's Zeotech Zeolite. I use it for bed preparation. I recommend it heavily for kitty litter. There's a critter crystals. There's a product for your swimming pool filter that's just terrific, and other products. Check out zeotech.com. Go to your local nursery, feed store, or hardware store and ask for Zeotech Zeolite.
Good sleep is an important part of your health. Savvy Rest has developed a healthy, comfortable bed made of natural, organic materials. Savvy Rest is committed to purity, natural, non-toxic, certified, and independently tested materials. Comfort. Every Savvy Rest organic mattress is customized and valued. Savvy Rest will long outlast a conventional mattress. For a store in your area, go to SavvyRest.com or go to the Green Living Store on DirtDoctor.com to order a cost-effective, quality bed for healthier sleep today.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
This spring, keep your lawn in shape with quality outdoor power equipment from Steel. Clear leaves and yard debris with the Steel BG55 handheld blower, just $149.99. Great for quickly cleaning driveways, sidewalks, and hard-to-reach places, the BG55 is a reliable handheld blower at an affordable price. And tackle tough spring weeds with the FS45 grass trimmer. Lightweight and well-balanced, this trimmer makes lawn care a breeze. And at $149.99, you get more value for your money. Get the job done with the Steel MS-170 chainsaw. This reliable, lightweight saw is ideal for your home wood cutting needs. And the anti-vibration system allows for comfortable operation. Now just $179.99 with a 14-inch bar. Check out the full line of Steel outdoor power equipment and discover the difference a Steel can make. See your local Steel dealer today or visit steeldealers.com. That's S-T-I-H-L dealers.com. All prices and promotions are BME SRP. Available at participating dealers while supplies last.
Are you having trouble hearing? Have you had trouble with hearing aids before? How about ringing in your ears? Well, I've got a dirt doctor recommendation. It's a friend of mine, Greg Keeney, and his company, Affordable Hearing. They do something that's pretty interesting, I think, and a great value to you. They'll do a free hearing test, and they'll let you take one of their very high-quality hearing aids home and give it a whirl. Give it a try for a week, and there's absolutely no obligation, no charge at all. You'll hear a lot about other hearing aid companies. There's a bunch of them out there, but this is the one I recommend. Especially if you've had trouble with other hearing aids or hearing aid companies in the past. They have locations in Fort Worth, Dallas, Mineral Wells, and Weatherford. They'll meet with you for an appointment on Saturday or Sunday if that will help. Their hearing helpline is 800-521-1592, and that's available to you 7 days a week. It's not only for setting an appointment, but also answering your questions. It's Affordable Hearing, 800-521-1592.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
All righty, Howard Garrett back with you. Jeffrey Smith visiting with me today and covering a lot of ground on GMOs. Jeffrey is the world's leading consumer advocate promoting healthier non-GMO foods. Jeffrey, really enjoyed being with you today. Some people are calling in asking about what can they do and all that. So I want to go through that and shopping for non-GMO stuff one more time before we end. But let's finish on this turf grass issue first. It was my understanding that the genetically modified turf grass that Monsanto was involved in was put on hold at least for some period of time. Where does it currently stand, and how have you been involved with it?
Well, it's still on hold. There was a lawsuit against it because of the potential environmental problems. It was reported widely reported when the problems came up. It was reported in the New York Times, for example, back in 2004 in September. And so we haven't really seen much from turf grass because it was such a shocking thing to them to see cross-pollination for 13 miles, but I got to tell you, they shouldn't have been so shocked. There was someone, a friend of mine from Austin, who's an expert at pollution, air pollution, and he calculated how far wind-blown corn pollen could remain viable to cross-pollinate given Texas wind patterns, and found that under certain circumstances it could blow viable pollen 512 miles away. So that's a 1,000-mile diameter radius from a single genetically modified corn field.
Right.
And so we're, you know, this stuff is a self-propagating genetic pollution, can outlast the effects of global warming and nuclear waste, and while it persists contaminating our gene pools forever. So it's a very, very serious, it should have been a very serious decision to put it on the market, but as we mentioned, it was put on the market over the objections of scientists at the FDA, by the former Monsanto attorney and later Monsanto vice president.
Well, I'm sure that different people have different levels of reactions and allergies to these things. I'm not around contaminated and dirty plants as much as some other people, so some people probably can be around it and get away with it, and others can't, I guess. This last front that came in, actually a warm front that came through, something hit me hard, like I was coming down with a cold or a flu, and I bet it was blowing in some of these things that you're talking about.
Could be. And, you know, because we know that the only human feeding study showed that soy genes transfer to gut bacteria, imagine if the BT genes, the genes that produce the toxin in corn, were to jump from a corn chip into your DNA of the bacteria living inside you. It might turn your intestinal flora into living pesticide factories, and that might have already happened to so many people in the United States, where there's some kind of continuous level of triggering inside them. What's interesting, Howard, is that many animals, when given a choice, avoid the genetically modified varieties.
Oh, absolutely. They'll stay completely away from it. We've seen that time and time again.
Yeah. Pigs, cows, geese, squirrels, elk, deer, raccoons, squirrels, mice, rats.
They can sense it, for sure.
Absolutely. So in terms of what we can do, we think as little as 5% of U.S. shoppers avoiding genetically modified brands could create the tipping point of consumer rejection necessary to put it out of the market. That happened in Europe when the tipping point was achieved in April of 1999. Within a single week, virtually every major food company committed to stop using GMOs because it had become a marketing liability. And so we have programs at responsibletechnology.org, responsibletechnology.org. It's our Institute for Responsible Technology. And I particularly recommend going to the download section or the media section and looking at the video, Everything You Have to Know About Dangerous Genetically Modified Foods. It's a long keynote presentation that I gave that describes all the things we've been talking about, and it's an easy way for you not to have to become experts at the problems. Just click and send it to friends. When people watch it, they typically change their diets and immediately consult non-GMOshoppingguide.com, and they actually get to the cupboard stage, is what I call when they go through their cupboards and remove products that contain GMOs. And so this is something that people can do now. This October is non-GMO month. And so it's a good opportunity for people to get the non-GMO wave, avoid GMOs, learn about it, and pass it on to others. Because getting 5% of U.S. shoppers is not that difficult. That's only 15 million people, 5.6 million households. There's already 28 million Americans that buy organic on a regular basis but are not consistently avoiding GMOs whenever they buy non-organic foods, and that's what needs to happen among the health-conscious shoppers.
Well, you've made me realize that I need to be a little bit more aggressive with my website and when I talk about it. Hopefully the critics that have contacted me about my recent comments on GMOs were tuned in today and now see that the data is all there, and what a great job Jeffrey Smith has been doing. I will link to your websites, and we'll continue to push and help any way we can, Jeffrey, and you keep me posted about what you need from me, and let's keep working together.
Great. We'll sign you up for Spilling the Beans, which is our free electronic newsletter.
Sounds great.
And you'll be up to date.
All righty, and you can get, and everybody out there can get our newsletter, our free newsletter, which comes out, we hope, on Tuesdays. Not always, but all you have to do to get it is send us an email, send it to info@dirtdoctor.com. Jeffrey, give those websites of yours out once more, please.
Sure, responsibletechnology.org and non-GMOshoppingguide.com.
Okay, Jeffrey Smith, I've enjoyed it. You're the best, and we will visit again soon. Those of you who didn't hear all of the interview, you can find it on dirtdoctor.com. It'll be set up as a podcast within a day or two, and we'll have Jeffrey back. For those of you who want to talk gardening, we'll do that tomorrow. The telephone number is 1-866-444-3478 for any of my shows. And if you have a question when I'm not around, just go to the website dirtdoctor.com. Enjoyed being with you. See you next time.